Good morning. I don't have a PowerPoint prepared this morning, so I guess I'll try to make sure that you can follow as we go. My message this morning is entitled, Love, the Greatest Commandment. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Maybe it's going to come to a shock, as a shock to about half the men here, but today is Valentine's Day. My mind went a lot of different directions as I was thinking about what to share. I don't like to let the calendar decide what I talk about. I want to be led of the Lord, but neither do I want to simply ignore that I am bringing a message on Valentine's Day. I'm not going to get into the origin of Valentine's Day or whether it might or might not be a secular thing that we've tried to Christianize or some of that thought. I think we can all agree that when we hear Valentine's Day or Be My Valentine, we all in one way or another think of love. 1 John 4:8 says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What is love? Is it that feeling that a young man gets when that girl catches him looking at her and she smiles back? Is it when he asks her to go out with him and she says that she will? Is it when he proposes and she says yes? Is it when they look into each other's eyes and say, I do? Is it that feeling when the nurse hands you your firstborn? Is it that feeling you get when you look into the eyes of your one-year-old and she smiles and coos at you? Is it what goes through you when you see your son ride bike for the first time? Do his chores without being told, or shoot his first deer? Is it the feeling he feels when you look him in the eye and say, I'm proud of you? I think we might all have different ideas of what love is. And that's what I'd like for us to look at a little bit here this morning. A problem with that entire list that I gave you saying, is this what love is? Is this what love is? Love can be involved in any or all of those. But a lot of it has to do with what I get out of it. Let's look at what love is not. Love is not treating others as they treat you. I enjoy hunting coyotes. I enjoy the camaraderie, the group spirit. It feels good to be with the guys. Maybe we have a long chase or a short chase. We get the coyote sometimes. A lot of times after the coyote's down, we stand around talking to each other. And it's just a general good feeling. You feel like you're part of the group. That is not love. If I were a very good, and I'm not, rifle shot, and every day for a week, I would, when Carl or whoever else is in the brush stomping coyotes, tracking a coyote, and I would get a vantage point, and the first chance I get, I'd knock the coyote down. No hound chase, no asking if we're going to chase him or not. I'd just simply be there just for myself. I would soon be told to go home. We're there to have fun together, but it is as long as you do what the group wants to do. They wouldn't say, well, I know we don't get much chasing done anymore, but he's having fun. I'm welcome as long as I contribute to the fun of the group, not simply for who I am. What love is not? Love is not spending time with someone because they make you feel good. A couple of youth girls say, hey, let's go shopping tonight. Okay, that sounds fun. Who should we invite along? And they invite two others to join them. They go shopping, have a good time. And that night they part thinking that they all love each other. And I'm not saying they don't. But really what they loved was a good feeling of being accepted and approved of. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Maybe I'll have you stand. You haven't had a chance to stand up yet. I'll have you stand, and well, I really appreciate Lynn has been asking us a number of times to stand and read together. And I've been challenged lately with some other messages I've heard. This is just a side note, but how much do we reverence and value the Word of God? Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 33. Mark 12, 28 through 33. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he, being Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And when he says first, he means greatest. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You may be seated. Now I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Many of us know this as the love chapter. I'd like to read this chapter very slowly. And while we're doing that, I'd like for each of us to think about how I am or am not applying this to my life. Am I loving as I should? Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Now, love can produce feelings, but love is not a feeling. We just saw in Mark 12 that love is commanded. You can't command someone to have a feeling. Love is commanded. Something I've noticed is that if a brother comes and confesses a sin, let's say that he lied, and he confesses that, it's treated as something he needs to turn from. He needs to turn from it now. Liars go to hell. If a sister comes, or if a sister would confess that she has a real problem with gossip and slander, it's just a real weakness the Lord is showing her, and it's a real problem she has, we'd say, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure it grieves God's heart when you do that. We'd pray for them both and ask God to give them the grace to overcome the sin in their life. But when thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself comes up, when that commandment comes up, And a man says, boy, I just struggle with that one. I don't do well with that at all. We pat him on the back and say, well, we all struggle with that. Carry on, good soldier. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is that we love. And that we love God with all our heart. And the second one is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. What Jesus and the prophets said matters the most, we sometimes give the least attention and gravity to. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. And again, as we read this, and I don't even have notes on this. I'm not sure what all I'm going to comment on as we go through this. But let's think about this. How does this apply to me? How does it apply to where I'm at right now? Right where I'm at. Some of us it's going to apply to differently. Verse 1 applies very much to me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, you know, I can do all the practice I want on trying to be a better public speaker. If I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Parents, does this describe my relationship with my child? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Does that describe your relationship with your neighbor? Charity vaunteth not itself, does not make you more than you are, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. There are two young ladies who did a good deed this week. I'll just put it that way. They did not do it for themselves. They did not do it to be known. Reminds me of a time Paul Harvey, I think probably more than once, he'd say something about what happened in the news. Some guy did this far out thing to try to get attention, and he'd say, he'd want me to mention his name. In other news, in other words, he didn't mention his name. Seeketh not her own. If I were to mention these young ladies' names to you and the good deed they did this week, would you be jealous that they're getting attention? Or would you be glad that they were doing good deeds? Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. How far can I go? How far will you go? Where do we snap? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Does that sound like the relationship between you and your spouse? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Do I think the best of my spouse during tough times? Charity never faileth. There again, love is not a feeling. Our feelings will fail us. Love is a choice. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. This is referring to our love for God. We can't truly understand and see Him as we ought or even as we wish. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I was trying to think of a good way, of a definition, and I actually didn't even look it up to see what Webster might say love is. But an idea that, or a definition that came to mind is assigned value. I wasn't going to say what these two young ladies did, but it made an impression on me, and I am going to share it. They came and picked up my daughter, who is 13, and Ashley Miller, who is just turned 14, and Trina Carpenter. And they took them out, took them for a meal, spent some time, played laser tag, did some things. There's not anything those three young girls can do, really, in return. They assigned value to those three girls. And I believe that's what love is. Love doesn't just look for who benefits me. Love is assigning value to someone else and acting on that. Believing that somebody is worth it. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 33. We are to love as Christ. Lynn talked about this some last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess. And I thought he did a really good job, and I heard a number of comments about how his message had affected different ones of us. We are to love as Christ. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. Husbands, love your wives. Again, this is a commandment. Love your wives. Even as God also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, asking ourselves, does this sound like me? Do I love my wife as God loved the church and gave himself for it? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Notice that when Christ loved the church in verse 26, well, in the last half of 25, it says he gave himself for it. In 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Notice who's being benefited here. Christ is loving the church, and the church is receiving the benefit. He didn't sanctify and cleanse the church because it made him feel better. He wanted to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He took the church and made it, took people and made them the church, we might say. He cleansed the church that it be holy and without blemish. So ought men, just like this, should men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For what reason? So that I will feel fulfilled, and she will meet my needs. I am to leave my father and mother, cleave unto my wife, and we become one flesh, so that I can help her grow to become more like Christ. That I can help cleanse her and sanctify her, wash her with the water of the Word. This is a great mystery, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning God and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That doesn't leave many of us out that are married. Let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself. Is that you? Are you doing that? Why do we struggle? Why is that hard to do? And nobody give me a list out loud. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." This whole idea or reality that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and we're going to look at those verses after a while. In fact, I think that's the next place we'll be turning. You can turn to Ephesians 6. This week, I know you guys probably think that Gina and I have a perfect marriage, but we don't. We had a real struggle. We both were disappointed in the other one. We both were hurt. And the easiest thing to do was just to avoid each other. But when we took the time to actually sit down and share our feelings and talk with each other, we started realizing that we were believing lies. There is nothing that Satan would rather do with a marriage than destroy it. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not my wife that's the problem. And in many cases, it's not even me that's the problem. It's our adversary that is the problem. Do I really think that my wife is trying to annoy me? That's not her character. And yet, I'll let myself believe that she did that just to get back at me for what I did. And I know that's not true. Another area that we struggle to love as we ought is with our children. And men, I mentioned this in my last message about the reality that each individual, man or woman, will receive a stone with their own name in it. That individual is unique and special to God. My daughter is not just an extension of me. She She doesn't just exist to serve me and make me look good. Your daughter is an individual with hopes and dreams and feelings and a need to be loved. It is true that the men are to lead. We are to be the head of our home. We are to guide and correct and discipline. We are not kings in our castles. Or even kings that aren't in our castles. Many of us want to be the king of home, but not be home. We have ambitions and hobbies and agendas. Our families had better fall in line or else. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How much time do you spend nurturing and admonishing your child? Do you have enough understanding of the word to wash your wife with it? I have been blessed with the ability to read and enjoy reading. I have a fairly good comprehension level. But I do not believe that anyone here can say, "Well, I don't enjoy reading, so I don't read." God has chosen the written word as His way to communicate with man. If I were to give you, or if you were, some of us are self-employed, some of us are working for others. If I were to give you, or someone else that you work for were to give you a manual, a 100-page manual, and you had to read that, and maybe not memorize it word for word, but have a very good working understanding of it in order to get a $30,000 raise next year. I'm pretty confident everyone in this room could pass that test. And if they couldn't, they'd say, "Hey, buddy, can you help me? I need help with this." If my son had cancer, I've heard this again and again. When someone finds out their child has cancer, the first thing they do is start researching cancer. What are the possible treatments? What's available? Where can I go? Who's having the best results? Research, research, research. When my child's eternal destiny hangs in the balance, I don't have time. How much research have you done in the Word of God on the best way to relate to your wife and children? I do believe that everything we do is to be geared toward the kingdom. Going back to us being kings in our castles. Yes, we need to lead. Yes, we need to give direction to our families. But it's not my kingdom that we're trying to build. Harold shared last week, whose kingdom? It's easy to forget just whose kingdom we're going about to establish. Whose kingdom it is we're working to promote. I've got ideas of how Jeffrey should serve the Lord as he grows. Is it for the kingdom's sake, or is it so that I look good? Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. Again, asking myself, as we always should when we read the word, how does this apply to me? What is this saying to me? Does this sound like what I do? And I'll just be up front and say, no, it doesn't sound like me. Not all the time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When my neighbor does so-and-so and it irritates me, that's flesh and blood. And that is not my battle. I don't know why he did that. What is God trying to show me? How am I being tested? What is God teaching me? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Verse 13, wherefore, or because of this, because we wrestle against spiritual enemies, we need to have spiritual armor. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Again, the word, truth, knowing the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, how are your personal standards, your integrity, your moral integrity? Are you standing with a breastplate of righteousness? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you share the gospel with someone? Do you understand the gospel well enough to share it with your neighbor? Having your feet shod with that. Above all, taking the shield of faith. It is God that wins our battles. Trust Him. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword that the Spirit uses. If we don't read it, we don't know it. Read the Scriptures. There are apps where you can listen to Scripture. Scripture's been on tapes for years. Some way, get into the Word and ingest it. Take it in. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this is probably the area the Lord is working on me most right now, is my prayer life. How much time do I spend praying, and how badly do I want to meet God when I do? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's be praying for each other. Let's be doing supplication for one another. I really believe, I guess it's just, I've mentioned this before, but just a real burden that the Lord has given me lately is that we be in prayer for each other, and especially for the men of the congregation, the fathers, the husbands, the leaders of the home, that we could be faithful ourselves in raising up a godly generation. Love is a commandment, not an option. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank You for love. Thank You, Lord, that You loved us and sent Your Son to prove it. Thank You, Lord, that You've made a way for us to know You. Lord, there was just not much desirable about us. And yet you gave your Son to redeem us. And we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to look around at others and see where we can ascribe worth. Where we can invest in someone's life and show them your love. Not just for what we get out of it, to truly love each other. I pray, Lord, for the marriages that are represented here. I pray, Lord, that you would be with the husbands and wives. I pray, Lord, that we would trust each other. That we would realize that we're not fighting each other. It's the devil that would like to get between us and cause problems. Help us, Lord, to fight together against him rather than to fight each other. I pray for the fathers that are here. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be keen, to be wise, to discern, to be about your business. Give us wisdom with our children. Give us love and patience and understanding with our children. Help us, Lord, to realize the seriousness of being entrusted with souls. Bless us this week. I pray, Lord, that you would go before us and that we would follow hard after you. Thank you also, Lord, for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it, bless our conversation. But also for those that go singing afterwards, I just pray, Lord, that your blessing would be on this afternoon, that we would be pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.